Hey guys, thanks for joining us on this 101st episode of Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include director C.J. Hunt, got a new documentary available July 5th entitled The Neutral Ground. We'll also visit with actor Kevin Bigley, got a new movie Rollers that's available in limited theaters and on demand now. We'll also visit with celebrity chefs Michael and Brian Voltaggio. New episodes of Battle of the Brothers is available on Discovery Plus. If you would, please take the time to subscribe, comment, leave some feedback, check out the shop, and of course, share with your friends. Now, the 4th of July is on a Sunday this year, so a lot of people get Monday off and have a 4-day work week. So here's a question. Should we just do that all the time? Well, a new survey asked 13,000 Americans if we should ditch the 5-day work week and do 4 days a week with 10-hour days instead. And 66% of Americans said yes, they'd prefer it that way. Only 23% said they'd rather stick with the current system of 5 days a week, and 11% aren't sure. 72% of people think they'd be just as productive or more productive if they only worked 4 days a week. And this part surprised me. Older people were much more likely to think a 4-day week makes sense. Only 18% of people 45 and up prefer a 5-day work week, compared to 30% of people younger than that. Got a new documentary we're going to talk about, The Neutral Ground. We've got C.J. Hunt on the line with us. And first off, C.J., appreciate you taking some time to be on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. We appreciate being here.
For you, C.J., where did the idea for The Neutral Ground, where did this idea first come up for your involvement, if you will?
So I was living in New Orleans. I moved to New Orleans in 2007. And there, they call the strip of grass in between the two streets the Neutral Ground. Right? That's where people hang out and barbecue, but it's also where the Confederacy built all of its statues. So in 2015, I was a comedian just, you know, working in New Orleans, and I was like, okay, you know, we've seen folks trying to hang on to the Confederate flag even after the Charleston Massacre and making sort of arguments on the floor like, this is all of our heritage. And we saw that fight brewing in New Orleans, and I thought, okay, let me bring a camera to city council to see folks who think that moving a Confederate flag across town somehow is a destruction of all of our history and the apocalypse.
And how hard is it, CJ, to be involved in a work like this and still with your comedic background? I mean, did that make this a little bit more difficult to pull off, if you will?
I don't know. I think maybe it makes it easier, you know? Comedy is what we use to, you know, be clear about things that are absurd. And there's nothing more absurd than the idea that a losing army from 150 years ago still has thousands of statues, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't name another army that has that. Like, that's absurd. That's absurd that you could put up a statue, you know, the Capitol rioters could put up a statue today, and imagine 130 years later, we forget that that's just a version of history and think we can't take it down. That's absurd. So, you know, I think comedy helps me not go crazy around the parts of the Confederacy where most of us are like, what the hell is happening?
Well, CJ, for you, I know one of the quotes that I saw in the trailer was that you had a hope of maybe seeing some change made. And do you think after the work on this that is even still a possibility? Is that still something in your mind as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we've seen the Southern Poverty Law Center estimates that we've seen of over 300 Confederate memorials and symbols come down since the Charleston Massacre, right? 300. I don't know if that's a lot. I don't know if that's small. But half of those have come down since the murder of George Floyd. So if we can move more monuments in a year than we can in 5 years, that gives me hope. You know, like, places all across the country are like, hey, we're not going to destroy these things, but maybe, just maybe, a statue of a slave owner who was a traitor to the country doesn't belong as the highest symbol in this country, doesn't belong in front of a courthouse, that these can be moved to museums and graveyards where they originally put up. So we are seeing change. And even in D.C. today, they are talking about, hey, maybe let's get Jefferson Davis's statue out of the Capitol. Maybe people who attack the Capitol and bring the Confederate flag here, maybe they're getting ideas based on the insurrectionists that we kept around inside the Capitol.
And what was maybe in the process of working on the documentary, CJ, were there any eye-opening moments or maybe any surprising moments that maybe gave you a little bit more hope when maybe things were bleak for a while?
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised by when you talk to folks who still want to hang on to the Confederacy. I have empathy because I get how folks are really just trying to guard their nostalgia, right? They're trying to guard something that they grew up with, that they have good memories attached to. But when you talk to them for long enough, I am surprised by how many people who start saying, you know, it was about states' rights, history is history, will eventually say out loud, you know, and also slavery wasn't that bad. And that's the crazy part to me. The idea that folks want to be like, you know, this wasn't about slavery. Also, on an unrelated note, slavery is not that bad. That's like if you had a friend who was like, you know what, my wife divorced me and it had nothing to do with cheating. But on a separate note, is cheating that bad? You'd be like, Craig, what are we talking about, Craig?
That's awesome.
Right? You'd be like, it sounds like you be talking about cheating enough. It kind of sounds like it was about cheating. And the amount of Confederate supporters, the neo-Confederates, who want to go on and on about how maybe okay slavery was and how maybe it was health care, you know, there was good health care, you know, like that, I think, gives away the game of what is underneath their argument.
And CJ, to see the feedback and the reaction that you've had from the documentary, I mean, whenever you finish one up, I mean, you never know what the feedback's going to be like. And what was it like to get your first feedback on the project?
You know, a lot of people go, this is unexpectedly funny and this is deeply terrifying. And, you know, I like making work like that. You know, I'm lucky enough to have a day job on The Daily Show, being behind the camera for folks like Ray Wood Jr. And all of our cast there of correspondents. But I think, you know, folks feel similar things about Daily Show pieces of that was really funny. Also, I didn't know how bad that was, you know, how bad whatever you're talking about in society is. And I think, you know, some folks don't think about Confederate symbols and they don't think about maybe the fact that we still have so much white supremacy in society. Maybe the fact that insurrectionists are attacking the Capitol. Maybe the fact that the most common video we see online isn't cat videos, but is unarmed black men being killed. You know, maybe some of that has to do with the fact that we still have statues upholding white supremacists who tried to tear the country apart. So the fact that folks think it's funny and terrifying, you know, makes me happy. And then the last thing people say is, how do I get this in schools? I wish I had seen this in schools. And, you know, we're working on that. If you're a teacher, you know, holler at us.
That's right. And again, The Neutral Ground, directed by CJ Hunt, executive produced by Roy Wood Jr., making broadcast premiere coming up July 5th, 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 local time on POV. And CJ, always want to make sure and let our listeners know where they can find not only more information about the documentary, but everything you got going social media wise as well, my friend.
Hey, Fairman, thank you for putting me on. So you can find out how to watch this. You know, if you're in LA, you can see this in theaters starting July 2nd. Get those tickets, those are going to sell out quickly. And then if you, you know, are anywhere, you can follow us on all the socials at It's Not Neutral. It's Not Neutral. And you can follow me at GoCJHunt on Twitter.
All right. Well, CJ, it has been great to visit with you this morning. Tell Roy we missed him. And hopefully we'll catch up again real soon, brother.
I'll bring him back next time, I promise. Thank you so much.
A new poll on faking it just came out. No, not that kind of faking it. I mean, come on, guys, get your minds out of the gutter. Now, people were asked to name things that they have to pretend to know about so they don't look stupid. And 62% admitted they do it within at least one topic. And here are the top things we wish we didn't have to do it with. Number 1, car repairs. Like when you're talking to a mechanic. Now, just under half of us have pretended to know more about cars than we really do. And 38% of people who've been caught pretending said that they doubled down and wouldn't admit it. Number 2, home improvement stuff. 47% of us wish that we knew more. Number 3, conversations about the latest gadgets or new technology. 39%. Number 4, tax knowledge, 38%. Number 5, parenting, 37%. Number 6, cooking, 37%. Number 7, politics, 24%. And number 8, fitness and nutrition, 17%. A new movie called Rollers that's in theaters and available on demand. We've got Kevin Bigley on with us today. And first off, Kevin, I appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule, brother.
Oh, no, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Kevin.
Now tell us the new movie Rollers, now available in theaters and on demand. What's it like putting a movie out there right now? And how did you have to change maybe your expectations on a new release?
It's a super weird environment for things to be coming out, or at least theatrically, I'd say, it's just a different environment. But I think it's been really cool because it just is feeling like a hybrid of times before, as well as this new era, as we're doing press for it and getting it out there. But not only is it just out there traditionally, but then it's out there on these digital platforms, which is kind of cool to see. So it's a brave new world for sure.
Now, if folks haven't seen the trailers or the previews, tell our listeners just a little bit about Rollers and what they can expect.
Yes, it follows this character named Rufus Paisley, and his parents kind of spawned this this music venue. So this music venue has been in his lineage for quite a while, and sadly, they pass, but they leave it on to him to run, and he runs it for quite a while. But now he's kind of debating, as the venue is kind of going through some tough times, he's kind of debating whether or not this gift is now a burden, and has it kind of kept him from living his life, or does he owe it to his parents' memory and legacy to keep this venue going? Is this actually part of him? Is this what he wants to do? So he kind of has a lot of these existential questions. And then on top of it, I'm kind of his best friend, who's just kind of this dude who, with a bunch of energy, who's bouncing off the walls and drinking beers a lot, who's trying to have some fun. So, yeah.
Now, for you, is music, is that something that you've had an interest in before, or was this something that you had to kind of step out of your comfort zone a bit for?
No, I own a bunch of records. I think my music taste kind of spans definitely all sorts of genres. There's a lot of surf in there. I'm looking at them right now. A lot of surf. I see some rockabilly. There's some hard rock. There's some metal. There's some funk. It's certainly eclectic, probably more indie music. Anyway, I think that's one of the things that really attracted me to the part was it was going to be fun to play a musician, and I play guitar, so it was going to be fun to just kind of have my guitar on set and kind of noodle around. And then when my wife was in the movie, so she plays one of the other main characters, and we get to do a song together. So I wrote this thing for us. So it was just kind of to be able to kind of live in a music venue for 3 weeks when we shot and just kind of have our instruments around. It was just super fun. And, you know, it was just a blast and an opportunity that doesn't really come around that often.
Now, Kevin, last summer, obviously, we were all shut down, closed in for because of pandemic and COVID and all that. As we are opening back up for this summer, what kind of how different does your summer plans look this time around?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I live next to kind of a next to a lake, and I'm up in kind of the Arrowhead area, which is here in California, which is away from L.A., up in the woods here, but I'm seeing like the town's kind of bustling with a lot of people visiting the lake. And, it's just kind of cool to see everybody out and about and stuff. I think I'm going to try to climb, Mount Whitney to do that. I think that's happening in August for me, which has kind of been a dream of mine to kind of attempt that hike. I'm doing that with a few friends and, I'm going to go see some family. I think we're going to travel to go see my mother-in-law in Ireland. So, there's a whole lot of, I got a long list of things that I got to start checking boxes. I'm sure everybody else is the same.
That's right. Now, Kevin, what other projects you got coming up the rest of 2021, my friend?
Well, you know, more specifically, we wrapped shooting on Upload season two. Mm-hmm. So that is hopefully coming out, you know, end of next year, beginning of next, sometime next year, the latest. So, you know, I have that going on. And then my wife and I, and we kind of create a lot of stuff together. She's going to be directing a short that hopefully will be turning into a feature. We're doing that in my hometown next month up in Northern California in Marysville, Yuba City. It's north of Sacramento. So that'll be really cool. Kind of looks a lot like Oklahoma, weirdly. so it'll be really cool. I'm really excited about kind of doing that. And yeah, just general just writing and trying to sell stuff.
There you go. And again, Rollers available in theaters and on demand. Kevin, I want to make sure also and let our listeners know where they can keep up with everything you've got going social media wise as well, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter, which is just my name. And then I believe Instagram is my name as well, although I think there's a middle initial of a W in there just to keep things spicy. And but there's one of those great, spectacular, elitist blue check marks next to my name. So you can find me there.
There you go. Well, Kevin, it has been great to visit with you, sir. I look forward to checking out the film myself, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
Thank you so much, Cameron. Would love to come back.
Now, as a parent, all you can hope for is to set your children up for success, and that includes their financial health. Well, someone talked to an expert about the top things parents should teach their kids about money starting at a young age, and here are four tips. Number one, how to keep a budget. Even before they have a job, you can help them practice with their allowance or birthday money. Just have them separate it into spend now and spend later. Number two, the difference between stuff you want and stuff you need. It gets a lot more important once your budget includes things like groceries, car payments, and rent. Number three, save regularly and consistently. Making monthly contributions to a savings account creates a healthy mindset that's more and more valuable as they get older. And number four, talk about the importance of good credit. It's best to start building your credit from the start, and if you do it right, it's a huge help later in life. The big tips are don't live outside your means, pay your bills on time, and don't use credit cards expecting to pay them off later when you're rich. Of course, you know we love talking cooking, love talking with chefs. Got a new show to talk about, Battle of the Brothers, which premiered on Discovery Plus. And speaking of those brothers, we've got Michael and Brian Voltaggio on the line with us. And first off, Michael and Brian, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Great to be here.
Now, guys, where did, Michael, I'll let you answer here. Where did the idea for Battle of the Brothers come? I actually probably ought to ask, was it yours or Brian's idea, right?
I mean, it's been in the making for 25 years. But we have an incredible production partner. And much like opening a new restaurant, you know, there's a concept process. And Brian and I knew that we wanted to, in some capacity, get a chance to compete against, but somehow work with each other. And so with Battle of the Brothers, it's kind of the best of both worlds. We get to mentor and work with younger chefs, but at the same time, we get to keep each other sharp in the process.
Now, Brian, for you, the competitive nature that you guys have had, I mean, when did you guys know that competition was, when did that first start? Do you ever remember a non-competitive time between the two of you?
I don't really, because I think we've been competitive in a healthy way, like all of our lives, you know, whether it be, you know, in sports and, you know, even though we played two different sports, like trying to be the best we could be at it, you know, who could get down the hill fastest on a big wheel, to then kitchen, you know, we're pitted against each other on a TV show, about 10 years ago. And, you know, Michael ultimately took that prize. So the rivalry kept going. now Michael and I work together more than any, you know, more than we've ever have. You know, we have restaurants together, we've authored books, and then we're bringing this incredible new show where we're now helping to mentor young chefs week over week that ultimately try to take over the prize of, you know, us hanging the keys to one of our restaurants where we're going to help them do a fully funded fully executed pop-up, you know, with their vision, with all of our support.
Now, Michael, for you, whenever you guys first started cooking, I mean, what was the end dream for you guys as far as cooking? Did you see that cooking was going to be in your life forever?
I mean, I think in the beginning we actually worked together in the same restaurant, and Brian was my boss. To fast forward to today and be, you know, on this show, meeting with you guys, talking about experiences that we've had together and separately for the past 25 years. I mean, at the end of the day, I think one thing that we like to say is that we're still just getting started. And so whether it be with Battle of the Brothers, with new restaurant projects that we have on the horizon, we woke up and realized, you know, working together, we could work half as hard or accomplish twice as much. And so we're taking advantage of the fact that we still have enough energy to keep going. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but 50 years of combined experience in this industry, we definitely feel like we're at a point now where we're going to keep going and give back as much as we can as well and help the next generation.
And Brian, what was maybe some of the things that you and Michael were able to do over the pandemic times that you're able to kind of share with some of the up and coming chefs that have also had to deal with the hard times?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was difficult. I mean, we saw a lot of our friends, colleagues, people we've known for years that, you know, had restaurants that, you know, might not return, you know, so it was definitely a dark time for our industry. I mean, every industry is really hit hard. You know, for us, what we did, you know, keeping busy was, you know, we did start to reopen our restaurants, you know, following, obviously, CDC guidelines and, you know, being, you know, very, very safe and slowly welcoming guests back to the restaurant. So we've been open for quite some time. You know, we're also in the process of reopening one of our other restaurants in D.C., hopefully by the start of the fall. So it's been a learning, you know, curve. You know, we certainly realize that our business is very resilient, that, you know, we look forward to what the next year is going to bring. And, you know, despite the fact that we've lost so many seats in our industry, you know, in great, great restaurants, there's also still new ones on the horizon.
That's right. And Brian, over this last year, we've all had some time to ourselves as well. Did you come up with any new recipe ideas that you're going to bewilder for your guests with?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Michael and I were always, you know, working on new food. We're currently writing a new menu right now. So, I mean, we're always doing that. I spent time personally over the pandemic actually starting to farm a little bit and started growing our own stuff, you know, so we start using it in our restaurants, you know, with that goal in mind. So that's one new thing that I did over that time.
And Michael, of course, we want to make sure and let our listeners know where, if they want to find out more information about the series Battle of the Brothers, or if they'd like to find more info on the socials, where's the best place to keep up with all that?
Absolutely. Brian and I are staying on top of it week after week. There's content coming from both of us on social at Brian Voltaggio, at M Voltaggio, and then obviously at Discovery Plus. There's updates on Battle of the Brothers. And tomorrow we will have episode 4. We'll start streaming. And so there's 4 episodes to start binging tomorrow if you haven't watched it.
That's right. Well, Brian and Michael, it has been great to have the chance to visit with you. Been a fan ever since the Top Chef days, and look forward to the new episodes, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Well, thanks again for joining us on this 101st episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, or anything else you'd like to know, hit me up on the contact page at gqwithcam.com. You can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook at gqwithcam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, you can visit our merch store where we've got hoodies, mugs, tumblers, shirts, stickers, and more. That's gqwithcam.com/shop. If you have a special guest idea, email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. Well, thanks again to our good friend Brandon Allen for coming up with our theme music. We're going to let him play us out and hope you guys have a great rest of your Wednesday.